I'm just honored again to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and I'm just thankful that each of you have heard our story about trying to build. And my thoughts this morning is we're praying for the development order there in Okaloosa County, but Lord gave me this thought this morning, and I believe that God has a divine development order, and that is Himself. He says to us in the Word of God that He is our sure foundation, and I just want to preach with God's power and His unction this morning, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 11, and try to keep our focus this morning on the Word of God and not the preacher, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So when we think about this Psalm 11, I may not be able to homiletically exegete it, but I want to just share some things about a father's strength, a father's willingness to fight for his family, and then a faithful rebuilder. A lot of times, you know, in our Sunday school lesson, we were talking about building up one another in our holy faith, the Lord's faith that He's put in us. But a lot of times, we need a pastor, and you have a wonderful pastor. We need a dad. We need a wonderful helpmeet right there by his side. And I only see just one young future mom here this morning. But a lot of times when you're in church, you see children, a lot of little children, and they think, well, what's life all about? But, you know, God has a purpose and a plan for you, dear. And, you know, I teach the kids. And I don't know how it is. They say, you know, you have to have a child's heart, but I just know when I got saved, the Bible says, except you become as a little child, you should not enter the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't mean childish is always being aggravating, but somebody that's willing to say, Lord, whatever you want. And I'm just thankful this morning. So in Psalm chapter 11, could we just stand and read a little bit, and then we'll let you sit back down? All right, let's read in Psalm chapter 11, and in my notes here, the Bible tells us that God's rule provides stability in the midst of panic. And I tell you, if we're not in panic mode in America, I don't know what's going on. But, you know, the Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now, it's easy to get offended about what's going on. But we've got to keep our focus and keep it on the Lord Jesus Christ, as Pastor said, looking unto Jesus. And realize that our stability is in Him. And He said in Psalm 119, 109, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So let's read it. Psalm chapter 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And verse 3 is my text verse. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's a question. We're faced every day with law and order and truth. The Bible says in verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence is soul hateth. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Heavenly Father, as we think about the psalmist, as he wrote chapter 11, Lord, no doubt, there's someone here today that feels like that their patience is being tried. There may be strife and contention in their home, as we spoke about in the Sunday school lesson. But Lord, we know that You're not the author of confusion. I pray now that through the preaching of Your word and the Holy Spirit, Lord, that You would lift us up and set our feet upon that rock, and that's You. And you said, there is no other foundation laid than that which is laid. And that's Jesus Christ. Thank you that you're our chief cornerstone. And Lord, when this church was built many, many years ago, there were men and women that by faith they stood and they put their shovels and their picks and their axes to work. And Lord, they built this church upon you and your word. And I pray now that your will and your purpose will be accomplished. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm thankful today that as I stand here, when I first came a few weeks ago, I began to look at the photo back there on the wall of the old school building and then the children and the teacher there. And I noticed the children didn't have on shoes. Well, I kind of grew up maybe not in that era, but an era when it got May 1st, we could go barefooted. But I thought about how that children are a heritage of the Lord, and how that you here at Old Mount Zion, you are rejoicing. And the Lord just gave me some thoughts about building on the foundation. And I thought about how that we look at the Word of God and we see that God gives us a message about Him. And that's what preaching is. You just lift up the Lord Jesus. There's a lot to be taught, as we taught in Sunday school, but it all centers around and focuses upon the foundation of our freedom in Christ. And it's easy for people to put you in their bondage or in their cage. But the Bible says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's how I was saved, and that's how you were saved. That's how anyone can be saved today. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. So I thought about the Bible is our authority. If two kids were out playing and one was given the assignment, now you go tell your brother or your sister that they're to come home. And one questioned the other and they said, well, who said so? Well, mama said so. Well, mom's the authority. Or dad said it. And that's the way I grew up. We were out playing and mom, she didn't let us come in and get a bottle of water like I've got here this morning. Thank you, Pastor, for providing that. I might need it. But she'd say, you know where the water hose is. Help yourself. So I'm thankful for authority. But the water of the word gives us the authority to know that whosoever drinketh of the water of life, God will give it to you if you'll come. But you gotta come his way. And the authority of God's Word is our foundation. And there at Crestview, where we're trying to get that development order, Lord just gave me the thought about the divine development order, and that is to build upon Him. Because this is a wonderful building. I love it. Pastor gave me the little grand tour. I love it. And some of you have built and you've added on, but you're the church. And that's why if we're building upon the Lord Jesus Christ, then we don't have to worry about permits. Now, they will come in time. Right now, we're meeting in a garage. And so I'm thankful that we've done a lot of work there. But I think about our authority that we have today in our home. And I know, as I shared with you this morning, that if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, what can we do in our homes and in our nation? I believe the Bible reminds us, in coinciding with Psalm 11 here, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, and the Lord shows us a foundation that's sure. Now you know, you said, Brother James, you're barking up the wrong tree. What is the soil out here? It's a lot of sand, isn't it? Okay, because we're Georgian and we move from the red clay to the white sand. But you know, the Bible gives us a biblical principle about what we can do as a Christian, as a church builder. As I shared this morning, God gives us, He's the God of gifts, and He gives us those abilities to work with those that are gifted. But the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47 that He has given us a foundation, and that foundation is Himself. He's the rock, and we're to build upon Him. So I don't know if you had it here, Pastor, but yesterday we had a storm in Crestview. I mean, that's the most rain I have seen. We've lived here almost 3 years, right? Almost. I mean, it was like what they call the straight line winds. And my thought is this morning, when the winds of troubles and trials and tribulations are blowing through your family, what do you do? Well, the Bible tells us here that the Lord said that He is the rock, and He gave the illustration here. Turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. If we're going to stand and be a strong leader, a dad as myself, the Bible says that husbands, love your wives. And that's the church. She represents the church, and I represent Christ. If I'm going to build a strong family and build a strong church that has families in it, I'm going to have to realize that I have the right foundation. Look at Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You know, when we were overseas, it took a while to learn Matthew's, Marcus, and Lucas, and Johannes. I mean, that's different books in a different language, but it's the same books. But when you look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, we see that God gives us a foundation, and that is the rock or the sand. You say, well, Brother James, we have a good foundation. Is this church built on a slab, Pastor? Is it built on a slab? Okay, I want to make sure, because our house is on a slab. Now, in Georgia, we have, I had a daylight basement, you know what that is, you know. And here, I'm not used to things being built on a slab, because when you go to plumbing, it's got to be above ground. But I thought about, because we had some plumbing problems, but I thought about this scripture here in Luke chapter 6, and that is, if I'm going to be a dad that's going to build and encourage my family, and the families in church, as I shared with you, they're having a lot of problems, and that's part of church family. You can't come in and change everybody's luggage. You just have to say, now, Lord, you clothe them with your righteousness, and we're going to go forward. Because in Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, if you found your place, I want to read this to you, and we want to just have encouragement today about building. It says Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods rose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. And I thought about yesterday when that storm came through. I thought, you know, Kathy and I have moved down here from Georgia, and the Lord's really blessed us, and I'm thankful. But I'm thankful for a Heavenly Father, because my dad taught me, and he was not a builder, but as I shared, he was a watch repairman. And the basis of doing any repair, any building, is you got to know what the authority of God's Word is. Because if you don't have the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ as the rock, you won't make it. And that's why as we're building out there and we bought the land, it's wonderful. But you know what? To build on that land, that's future. But right now, we're building lives. Building lives on the Word of God. That's what Awana was, and I was an Awana director for many years. If you don't know what that is, approved workmen are not ashamed. That's a Bible memory program, and we would teach the children, but as the children would come in, and they all had different situations and backdrops and things, and you know, it's just like that young child that passed away. I thought, does that family have a pastor? Do they have a church? Do they have a church family that they can call on? And the Lord Jesus here in Luke chapter 6, He says simply that we need to realize that our foundation is in God's Word and what Jesus has done for us as our Heavenly Father. But before He came our Heavenly Father, He was our Heavenly Judge. And that's why my dad always taught me, and he said, now, when you dig down, you got to find the solid foundation. And you know, you get through the Georgia clay, but then you'd find some good, rich soil. And I believe that's what this church has. And I began to think about the foundation. I thought about the psalmist, and that song says, I think what that song that we sing, you know, it talks about being onward Christian soldiers. And we're fighting. But I thought about the thought that my dad always kept before me is the fear of God. And you know, when you look at the Word of God, you think about all the things that God's given us. And that's what we have as our biblical authority. We have a foundation. There may be a lot of sand around here, but we have a foundation. And what is that? That is not necessarily the Bill of Rights, okay? I know in America we have our foundation. The forefathers of our nation, they were all aware of the profound truth. But as we are Americans here in America, we have to realize that our country was built upon the Word of God. Our forefathers stood on the Word of God. Now, they all weren't necessarily fundamental independent Baptist preachers or Christians, but they had a morality that sometimes we overlook. And I know as Christians, we see that. We see that even with our grandkids. And I'll say, you know, they'll say, well, Papa, why do you do this and why do you do that? I said, well, the Bible says. And when you're teaching and when you're witnessing, that's so important that we are building upon the Word of God. And I thought about there our house in Crestview, and I thought, we're built on a slab, and the rain was, and I said, Lord, erosion may, you know, it may happen, but I've tried to do what I could. But I'm telling you, in the Christian life, it's a task, and it's a heartfelt desire every day to say, Lord, I'm going to be a faithful builder, and I'm going to build on the Word of God. How do I do that? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I want to say this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have a solid foundation. Now, our nation, it's shaky right now. But I think about this. I used this in Indonesia when I taught there in the Bible college, and I did a paper in foreign language. But I used Psalm 127. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And dads, I want to speak to you and say, well, this is an early Father's Day message. But you know, it's to me. I think about the 40-something years that Kathy and I put in ministry, and I thought, what is my foundation? It's the Word of God. Except the Lord build the house. We started our marriage in 1972, and I'm thankful that even though my son's a builder, I'm not much of a builder, but I know that the Word of God is my authority. And when God called me to preach, He called me to be a faithful steward of the Word of God. And that's why today our families, they don't have that. And you may have it. I look out over your in your faces and I say, these are solid people. That's how this church started, ever how many years ago it was, is that Mount Zion. So this morning in your mind's eye, what was Mount Zion compared to Mount Sinai? Well, Mount Zion is Jerusalem, right? But the Bible says, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. That is future. That's why the Bible says in Psalm chapter 22 that Calvary covers it all. Jesus died on Calvary to lay the foundation because He's the chief cornerstone. Because when I'm teaching in the Sunday school class, did you know when they built the temple, when Solomon built it, he built it because God allowed him. It was in the heart of David, but because of David's sin, God said, no, you're a man of war, and there's blood on your hands, even though you're forgiven, according to Psalm 51. But I want to say this morning, dads, fathers, I put down here, are you fighting for your children? A father that is a warrior. And that's what David was. But David's sin disqualified him to build the foundation of the temple. It didn't do away with God's call on his life, because from David came who? David, in his godly line of giving life as God promised to Adam and Eve, through David came Boaz. And Boaz and Ruth, we see that many things are so wonderful, and through that marriage relationship came Jesse, and from Jesse came David, and from David came the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm saying, Dad, are you fighting for your family? Now, I've only met pastor's family a little bit, but every once in a while I'll get a text from your son. I say, he's still in the fight. Are you fighting for your children? I have two boys. I'm fighting for them. They're not where God wants them Maybe they're not where I want them, but I know they're not where God wants them, but they're still my children. And that's why the Bible says here, in the day that we live in, we must be builders, and we're not building a political kingdom. That's what happened when they built Babel. You remember a lot of people, my dad, he was a tent evangelist. I've told you that before. And they said, well, you're a Babticostal. They said, you're a Baptist, but you believe in led of the Holy Spirit. I said, well, that's Bible. But you know what? The reason there's such a confusion in the day, as there was in the days of Babel, is they tried to build something for themselves. And that's what happens with church planting. He said, well, and we're trying to tell you a little bit about the church. We must build upon God's word, and that word is that solid foundation. And if we build on any other foundation, on our personalities and on the things of this world, it will not last. So I believe, number one, we need fighting fathers. How are we going to have that? Well, I think we can take the illustration this morning from those in our past. We just celebrated a holiday, did we not, for our soldiers? How many in this church this morning have had men or women, maybe yourself, that you fought for our country? If you're going to fight for God's people, then you need to realize that the Bible tells us you need the whole armor of God. The book of Ephesians says, put on the whole armor. I'm not fighting Kathy. We've been made 51 years. We may have spits and spats, but she is my fellow helper. It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ so loved the church. So if we're going to have a foundation, it's laid, Jesus Christ. Because when the builders built that temple, they built that temple from the rocks that were quarried a distance from where the church or the tabernacle was built. There was no sound of hammers and saws. Now, we've been building a lot, Pastor. I told you that. I mean, saws and hammers and rakes dragging the ground. I mean, noise. But when God builds the temple, he builds it by a blueprint, the biblical authority. My first point is, if we're standing on the word of God, then we don't have to be ashamed. Approved workmen are not ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed that you're a Bible-believing Christian. Now, when I grew up, you know, you could take your Bible to what? You could take it to school. You had prayer in school. But that's why this morning, when I think about the foundations being destroyed, what do we do? I believe we need to be fighting fathers, but also we need to realize that when we teach our children, we're not fighting mama. We're not fighting grandpa. We're fighting the devil. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not fighting against pastor. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's why I hear my notes here. We tend to be selfish. We allow the enemy to slip in and knock our foundations down. Why? Because we're not claiming the promises of God's word. In Psalm 82 verse 5, it says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. And you know, I preached a message or a little series a few weeks ago about it, and I brought my square in. You know, you said, well, you weren't a builder, but I know the tools. And I brought that square in and I laid it on the pulpit and I said, hey, pastor's the pastor. I'm just here helping. But I said, when we go to build something just like this pulpit, it's got to be square. And that's why I believe that the word of God reminds us that the foundations are under attack. If somebody says, we want to build it this way, we want to build it that way. I guess that's the hardest thing I have with my kids and my grandkids. How can kids do things? And I know that I'm just a visiting pastor, I'm a preacher, but how can kids live like they live? Number one, I wrote down here, they have no biblical authority. Why? It's because they have no moral character. Now, I know our forefathers, you know, I've heard people quote Benjamin Franklin. I mean, how many's got glasses on today? Okay, I got contacts. What about the postal system? Some of you may have worked for the postal system. All those good things that Benjamin Franklin did. But you know what? If you do a biography of him or look on his life, he might not have been a born-again independent Baptist preacher. I'm saying our forefathers, they had morals. I believe that he had some morals, but if you look at his life, there's some things he didn't. I'm saying as a Christian, we respect our forefathers. But we must realize that men and women today must come back to the Word of God. And what is that? It's like 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, my dad explained this to me. This might not be a modern commentary, but my dad said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means the Holy Ghost of God breathed on men, and they wrote down what God said, not what the commentary said. I love commentaries. I got plenty of them. But this morning when I got up and I went out to my office, I told Kathy, I said, I'll be ready in just a minute. She said, you're going to eat breakfast. Well, I'm not sure. Well, I did eat breakfast. But I just need to get a word from God. And that's why when I read that verse about in Jude chapter 1 and verse 20, it says building. That's what we need today. We're torn down. We watch the news. You think, what else could happen? It's terrible, but are you a fighting father this morning? What does that mean? That means you teach your children Bible verses. Oh, Brother James, I don't have time to do that. They can get on their iPad. They can get on anything. But no, sit down. And my dad, I can just see him now, sitting on our old couch and that lamp there and him with this Bible. This was his Bible cover. My sister had it made from, this is real leather, brother. And I can see him reading his Bible. Bible authority. If you're going to fight for our nation, start with your kids. You say, it's too late. No. I'm still praying for mine, and ours are what? We've been married 51 years. He's 40, almost 50 and almost 45. Oh, Brother James, they're too old. No. I'm still praying. I'm fighting for my boys. Are you fighting for your kids? We need to stand on God's word. And I wrote down here, but if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 12:17. Why? Because of morality. There is a way that seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12. Our kids say, well, Papa, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And I told Kathy, I said, can't they see it? I said, when kids live together, I'm just being honest this morning. I'm bearing my heart. I'm fighting for them. And they don't marry. That's not moral. Amen. But what happens when the grandkids come? It's not the kids' fault. I love them. I want to be with them. But I'm fighting for them. I'm saying, Lord, the Bible says, humble yourself. And then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. I mean, you want to go over there and do something ugly, but you can't. You need to be a prayer warrior. And that's why it seems right to them. But are they saved? Only God knows their heart. We have to stand on the Word of God. That's why reason, experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail if there are no Bible principles, no Bible authority. Who said that? Guess who? George Washington. Really? We went to George Washington's home, didn't we? Oh, have you ever been there? Anybody ever been there? I mean, I tell you, that opened my heart. I'm not saying he was a fundamental Independent Baptist, but he had morals. His wife worked. Did you see her smokehouse? I mean, that was amazing. She was a woman. And, you know, the marriage situation, she had money. George Washington married into her life and her family, and God used that. I'm just saying, just because people are not independent fundamental Baptists, we can't throw them out. As I said, build up one another. We need a foundation. How are we going to do it? Be fighting fathers for our children. And I want to do that. Jesus said, if any man will come after me and let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. How do we do that? You say, well, Jesus died once. That's it. It's finished. But daily, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I'm not stopped fighting for my boys. I love them. But if they have to walk in that church, I hope I'm having my funeral church, maybe a funeral home, and they see James E. Hanser Jr. laying there. They said, Daddy prayed for us and he fought for us because he was a moral, godly man. I'm saying, are you fighting for your children? The Bible reminds us that we must not say we're sorry, but we must say in our heart, Lord, I want to be a blessed man. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the scornful, but his delight is in what? The Word of God, the Bible authority. When I saw my dad sitting there, he worked at General Motors, Brother Chris, for years and years. He was an evangelist. Why did he come out? Because of my mother's help. You may have circumstances and you may not be doing what God wants you to do right now or you want to do. But you can still serve God. Fight for your family. Don't give up on them. The Bible reminds us here in the Scriptures. It says in John chapter 13, it reminds us that we have to be in control as the Holy Spirit leads us into His happiness. That word happy is His blessedness. Happiness isn't something that God expects us to pursue. Happiness is something that we reveal while we're doing the will of God. You know, the kids say, well, Papa, I'm just not happy. Our goal is to please God, not to please ourselves. We've been in Indonesia. We're back here now in Florida. I love it. But I don't know where God wants me to move next. You say, you're going to move? My tenure, the way they use that word, I'm here helping the pastor. And I say, God, you open the doors, you close the doors. But I'm a pilgrim. It's easy. We bought a house and I look at it and say, Lord, I'm glad it's here, but it's yours. Our authority is to build upon God, be our best, be prayer warriors, and that we can pursue happiness for our family and our nation. How? We do it by saying sin is sin. And serving God is serving others. That's why I really enjoy helping Brother Muse. He's the pastor. It'd be just like if I was here helping Brother Carroll. I'd say, Brother Carroll, what do you want? And I'm not a yes man. I know how to say no, ask my wife. But I'm there to serve. If you're going to serve your church and serve this pastor, you're going to have to be a fighter. And if somebody says something out there that's not true in here, you stand for the truth. And say, my pastor is my shepherd and I love it. It says, my sheep hear my voice and another they will not follow. Amen. That's why in John it talks about those false teachers coming in. So this morning, as we look at God's word, we need to be fighting fathers. Number two, we need to realize that if we're going to be faithful servants of God, look back at my text in Psalm chapter 11. In Psalm chapter 11. The Bible tells us that we're going to have to be men that are willing to what? Work with our hands. Work with our hands. How did our nation get built? Have you ever, I don't know what the history is here, but I thought about that song, We're Marching to Zion. When they built this church, they put the shovels and the picks and the axes to work, and they built this church. Do y'all know the foundational, do you have a charter here at the church? Of the church, your bylaws and constitution. We just did that at where we built the church. And when you go back and look at that, it says, and you know, the old church covenants, you don't have one of them. The old churches used to have the church covenants on the wall. I mean, when we grew up with that. And the pastor said, I want you to review number four over there, number five. It says, you should not participate in any alcoholic beverages or the sale of it. You know, we don't have that now. But that's what I'm teaching on in Sunday school. It says you shouldn't gamble. It says you shouldn't drink drinks that are alcoholic. And then the question come up, well, what about Jesus and the wine? And I explained it from the Bible. I said, when that grape, I got scupper dimes at my house. When they fall off that vine, they die and they rot, okay? The only way it becomes alcoholic is if you put it through a process. See, the devil has destroyed our families and we are just letting it happen. Why? Because we don't come back to the Word of God. That's why moral standards for all men are the same according to the Word of God. It's not black, white, yellow, and pink. It's God's word is there, and that's why drinking of alcohol. And you say, "Well, Brother James, this isn't a mission message." I mean, I'm just bearing my heart, because when kids come to the house and they drink, and you don't drink, what do? They're your kids, but you still love them. You're fighting for them, but you're not allowing things to take over your life that they allow in their life. You just say, "Lord, I love them." That's why it's so important that drinking alcohol and beer, it's associated with the world. I'm teaching on gambling and dancing and fornication and prostitution in my lesson. You say, "Wow, I mean, it's just the real world." You don't have to be a hellfire preacher, but you can preach the truth, and that is. The Bible says the soul that sinneth is going to die. And that's why the two foundations there in Luke chapter 6, he says, you can build in Florida, but make sure you got a good rock foundation that you're going to build on. And that's what the church is. It's built upon Christ. That's why in my lesson it talks about you're not a alcoholic, you're a drunkard. And that's why the Bible, liquor is still the same bloody killer it's always been. And that's why when you're working with the church and people come in, "Brother James, I've got an addiction." Okay, let's sit down and talk about it. I don't beat them up. I'm trying to build them up. And that's why it's so important, is that we have a biblical authority, and it's built upon the Word of God. That's why God does not change. Sin is still sin. A physical relationship before marriage is still sin. Well, what do you do, Brother James? You pray for them. You fight for them, regardless of who they are. Our nation was built upon strong foundational morality. And that foundation is rapidly crumbling. Why? Because dads are not fighting for their family. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. It's easy for the dad to fight, but the wife said, "Now, honey, don't be so hard on them. We've been through that." But it's a love relationship. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Colossians 3, 18 and 20. So fighting fathers, are we fighting for our children? Yes, we are. And that's why it's so important this morning as we look at the Word of God. My time has come and gone. There is no synthetic replacement for a decent home life. You know, I grew up with old oil, okay? Now, some of you still use it. I use synthetic oil in my car now, okay? It doesn't mean it's better than the old oil. It's just the way they've designed it. And it's supposed to help the engine. But you know what? I believe today in our life that if we're fighting fathers, we can have biblical authority. We can have morality in our home. But then as we train our children and we do God's will, we can realize that God has given us education. And that's what I'm saying. Train up the child in the way he should go. How do you fight for him? You train him. One guy said, training's one thing, but when they're really learn the Word of God, they'll do it without you dragging them to church, you know? I'm just thankful that it's not easy today. And I'm just thankful that God's allowed me to realize that we can have biblical authority, because the foundation's on God, and we want a godly government. Whoever we vote into office, the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear fruit, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. I want to say this morning, be fighting parents, fathers and mothers. Be faithful parents in the Word of God, just like you are today in the house of God. And lastly, realize that we're not home yet. We're not home yet. So don't be discouraged. I know that many times in our life when we think about the Word of God, we think about, I wrote down this, it's life or death. When I was in the military, they told me, it's life or death, buddy. It's life or death. Number two, it's liberty or bondage. And then number three, it's that we have that authority in God's Word to know that we have what? Blood atonement. And it's separation unto God. And that's why our ministry and pastor there at Crestview, it's restoration. And I want to close with this thought. If we're going to have a good fundamental independent Baptist church, we're going to have to be able to restore people. You say, where do you get that, Brother James? Galatians 6:1. Ye which are spiritual. I got my Bible authority. I'm fighting for my kids. I've got my morals. I'm going to do right according to the word of God. He that knoweth to do good and doeth not is sin. And then I've got the truth of God's word. And that is that I want true revival for our nation. How am I going to have that? Start right here. My pastor used to always say it, and you've heard it. He said, you draw a circle, and you get in that circle. He said, you get right with God, you make sure your wife's right with God, and you pray your kids will get in that circle with you. I believe that's what builds a strong nation. And I want to say this morning, if we're fighting for our kids, if we're faithful in church, with our morals too, because, you know, Christians can be immoral. They can. That's why the pastor has to preach so hard. But realize that there's lost sinners out there. And the Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I know that there's been some personal things, Lord, in my own life. But Lord, that's what preaching is just bearing your burden. Lord, there's always things that we face. And I'm sure there's families here today. Maybe there's someone here today that's not truly born again. Maybe they're living outside moral guidelines of the Word of God. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, it may be hard preaching, but not mean preaching. We never want to go over and beyond what you've said in your Word, and that is, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I pray now that you'd use old Mount Zion. Lord, we think about that song. We have come all the way from Sinai, law, and we've come all the way to Zion, grace. And because of Calvary, you've covered it all. Now, Lord, save the lost and encourage the saints. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.